Or do we have people in church? Hallelujah! Are you excited to be in the house of God? If you're excited, turn to somebody, tell them, I'm excited to be in the house of God. Amen, amen, amen. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day that we can come here into the house of God and celebrate and have worship. And today, some of you may not know, but it is our family Sunday. And we have new plans for our family Sunday. You know, we don't want just to be coming, you know. We come for a family Sunday, you know, we are all together here or come here every Sunday. And we go home like this. The plan that the Lord has been speaking to me and to other people in the leadership, that we need to revitalize our coming to church, you know, at least one Sunday in a month. And I think, what a beautiful Sunday, the most beautiful Sunday that we can organize ourselves and have some wonderful time here together would be on a family Sunday when our children are here. So this coming Saturday, this coming family Sunday, that is the end of June, I would like you to come prepared. Don't be in a hurry. We are going to have food here together, and then we are going to watch a family movie. Amen? Amen? So I would like you to invite somebody. I would like us to come have some time, and so that we can be enhanced together as we enhance ourselves, even in the Lord. Amen? It's going to be wonderful, and I would like you, if you have a friend, you can invite them on that particular day, because it's going to be a family Sunday. Amen? Praise be to God. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. So this coming end of the month, you know, a Sunday like this, we shall come here, hear the word of God, and after that we shall have a good lunch together. And then we shall all come back here and watch a wonderful family movie. Amen? Amen. And we shall be having various activities every end of month, you know, family Sundays. The other Sunday, I have something that I won't even take it out of the bag, but I have something very, very interesting that we shall all be partaking together. Just before I begin to bring the word of God, I'd like to ask you kind of like a teaser question, see whether you've been reading your Bible lately. How many of you know that there were 12 tribes of Israel? How many of you know that? Well, there are 12. Oh, how many of you believe that there were 12 tribes? Lift up your hand. Were there 12 tribes of Israel? Okay, how many of you believe there were 13? How many of you, oh my goodness. How many of you believe there were 14? How many say there were 12? Lift up your hand and say hallelujah. Thank you. I'd like you to give me the names of those tribes. Let me see how you've been doing. Okay. Judah. Okay, no. I don't want you to shout like that. I don't want you to do that. I'd like you to lift up your hand like in a classroom, yeah? Yes, sir. Benjamin. I like that. Benjamin, sir. Okay, somebody else. Israel. Was that a tribe? Israel was the father. Okay. Issachar. Good. How many of you know about Issachar, the sons of Issachar? Yeah, the sons of Issachar, they knew their times. Thank you. Somebody else? No, we said don't. We said you need to lift up your hand. And then I was, yes. Reuben. Reuben. Okay, somebody else? They were tribe. We've already done only four. Yes. Naphtali. Yes, good. Naphtali, can you know, Naphtali is normally forgotten. Naphtali, good. Somebody else? Yes. Dan. Yes, Dan. Somebody else? I think Benjamin was said. Yeah, you said it and we clap for you, yeah? Okay. Yes. Simeon? Simeon? Yeah, Simeon too, yeah. Okay. Ephraim, good. Yes. Huh? Gad. Oh, can you give him a hand clap? Somebody else. Are we done? Oh, there's one. Yes. Huh? Levi. Yes, good. Somebody else. There's one that have not been mentioned. Judah was said, but we can give you a hand clap if you want to. Okay, somebody else. There are two that have, well, actually there are some that have not been said. Which is the last one? Yes. Okay, can somebody tell me where Julius appears in the Bible? Give me somebody about a story. No, there is. Yes, it's Julius. There is Julius and Paul. They were connected somewhere. Can somebody give me a story of Julius? Yes.
In the book of Acts.
But I was listening about that, Julius, this week. I was listening about where Paul was accused and he went to meet Julius. No, Julius. Julius was a brother, by the way. There might have been a Julius Caesar, but there's a Julius who went to, Paul went to. I like that. Okay, the last tribe. Somebody didn't mention. Yes. Joseph. Joseph? Was he among the tribe? Manasseh. I think Joseph was the father of Joseph. Manasseh was the father to Joseph, right? Joseph? Can you get into your Bibles? I don't think Joseph was among the tribes of Israel. Okay, somebody else. I'm going to give you. Yes. Yes. Okay, listen. There was a tribe called Zebulun. Zebulun, okay? Yeah, Zebulun. Nobody mentioned that. And there's one famous singer. I think he's a secular singer. And his name is? Actually, you took your girls, you know, to go. Asha. Asha. Nobody mentioned Asha. Huh? You mentioned Reuben, you mentioned Simeon, Gad, Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Zebulun, Issachar, and Judah. Now listen, these were the 12 tribes of Israel. And their father was called who? Israel. And I think Sister Charity mentioned that. Jacob was their father. Now, these tribes were, some of them were on the eastern, were on the eastern side of Israel. Some of them were, the three of them were on the eastern side. The three of them were on the northern side. The three of them were on the southern side, and some of them were on the western side. And these were located even as they went and conquered the nation of Israel. I mean, you know, the promised land. So they were allocated land. Now, guess what? Guess what? I want us to introduce some families according to the way these families were introduced here in the land of Israel, so that every single one of us will belong to a family of a tribe among the 12 tribes of Israel. So I figure out that if you are on the northern side of our place here, maybe you will belong to a tribe called maybe the family of Dan. How many people come from Makini? How many people come from Allen? How many people come from Dallas? Lift up your hands. So you might belong to a family called Asher or Dan. Okay? And this is exactly what I want us to do. After we have these families, we are going to have leaders. And then you can have picnics. You can meet together. And we want to give those families responsibilities so that, for example, we come from the southern part of our church. We might belong to the tribe of Reuben with the Junie and Rodri and Sam. And those tribes will be trying to meet together. And that we are also going to give you responsibility. Say responsibility. We are going to have those families come here in the church and make us tea and clean the building, so that we don't have a burden for many people worrying, where is the building going to be cleaned? Do you love the idea? So if you belong to, somebody shook their head, they didn't like the idea. I didn't see nobody. So if you belong to a certain family, you'll be coming here, you can decide whether we're going to have lunch. You know, you can decide to invite people within that small group and grow it. Praise be to God. And so we are going to grow in that, and the Lord is going to bless us. Amen. So I'm going to speak more about this in a few weeks. I just wanted to let you know so that you can get excited about it. And meanwhile, you think about if you come from the southern. Listen, if you come from the southern part of our church, we have Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. If you come from the western side of our church, we have Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. If you come from Denton, northern side, Think about the name Asher, Dan, and Naphtali. If you come from the eastern side, I think we have the majority from there. You can think about the name Judah. Judah means praise. Amen? And Issachar or Zebulun. Praise be to God. Are you excited in the Lord? Amen. I'll be talking about this in a couple weeks to come so that we can expound on it, on what the Lord has laid in my heart. Well, turn your Bibles right now into the book of First John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. The book of 1 John 3:8. What holiday are we celebrating in America today, this weekend? Huh? Memorial holiday? Christmas? What does memorial mean to you? I mean, what does America celebrate? Why does it have memorial holiday? God is helping me. I'm becoming a teacher now. And I can see those students who really look down and they don't want to look at the teacher because he might tell them to answer something. Why does America celebrate its memorial? I mean, memorial. Why do we have memorial holiday in America? We remember the Americans remember, we also remember what the veterans, the soldiers in uniform, what they have done and accomplished for this nation. And this special weekend is a weekend that is dedicated to honor the families and the veterans and the soldiers that are in uniform. I know we have parents here who have their kids who are in the line of duty, either in Iraq, or, I mean, not in Iraq, but in Afghanistan, not in Iraq anymore. And so we honor them for the good work that they do. Amen? And for the service and the sacrifice that they offer for the sake of this nation, for the freedoms, protecting freedoms. You know, after 9/11, you know, things, the whole structure of the United States Army and the whole the United States government changed. And so they're fighting counter-terrorism, they have in place, you know, counter-terrorism measures to protect the freedoms of this nation. Amen? And so even as we honor the veterans, people who have died, sacrificed their lives in various wars in the United States of America, in other countries like in Vietnam. I was reading an article of what happened in Vietnam. You know, sometimes things happen, they go past us, and we might not be aware of what really happened. There are so many people's lives that were lost during the war in Vietnam. You know, and it was almost a catastrophe, almost to be likened in the war in Iraq. And so this weekend, as we join other Americans, it is very, very important for us to thank God even for this nation that has given us an opportunity to come here to work and even to feed our families, to work, to prove ourselves and to prove, to give an opportunity to us, you know, to express that which is a God-given potential to work and to bring bread to our family and to support our families who are overseas. Praise be to God. And as I was thinking about this memorial holiday, I was thinking, I went back and I said, oh, what is my memorial? And I realized that, you know what, I have a memorial service in my life every day, remembering what Jesus Christ did for me. Praise the Lord. On the cross of Calvary, do you really have a memorial on a single day in your life? When you remember where you were, and now that you have been pulled out of a quagmire of sin, and now that you have been pulled out of a state of being a sinner and banished from the presence of God, I have a memorial when I remember the plan that God had for humanity. And he tried all he could after creating man and putting him here on earth. And after we were banished from his presence through sin that came into the world, God sent his prophets, we killed them, and ultimately he had to send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross that he might bring us back to himself. Amen. and that we may have a relationship. Now we have that restored relationship through the second Adam that came in the form of our Christ. Praise be to God. And who was crucified on the cross of Calvary. And today we can actually we can actually have a memorial celebration every single day when we remember what Jesus Christ did. Amen. On the cross of Calvary, we can celebrate and we can rejoice in what the Lord has done. 1 John chapter number 3 verses 8, the Bible says this. If you're there, can you say amen? He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. And for this purpose, somebody say, for this purpose. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the work of the devil. Praise be to God. For this purpose, for the purpose that the enemy was the author, the one who instituted sin here on earth, for that very purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Jesus came from his throne and he was clothed in a human body and he lived here a holy life. And his whole goal, his whole mission was to destroy the work of that church. That church, to me, is my memorial celebration. Hallelujah. To know that I was a sinner, to know that the one who instigated sin, the author of all sin was the devil, and he came and he robbed us of a presence, of a position that I had with God, created a separation between me and God, and I was banished from the presence of God. And that to know in this verse that the Bible tells me that for that one reason, the Son of God was manifested to crush the works of the enemy. That church, that alone is my memorial celebration. I don't want to dishonor the men in uniform. They have done a wonderful job. They have done an incredible job to protect the freedoms of this nation. If we didn't have the men in the the men in uniform fighting the wars in Afghanistan and in Iraq and other places, we are not in a debate to know whether they were sent there in an erroneous way. But one thing I know, if we didn't have those men in uniform fighting, being in the offensive to fight the wars of the enemy in those lands, probably we would not be enjoying the freedom that we have today. And I don't want to dishonor that. I want to, with the highest esteem, respect what they do, the sacrifice that they have given themselves. They have offered their lives freely for the sake of the freedoms, even for the sake of the people that they do not know. I do not want to dishonor that. But there is a great memorial service that we ought to have, we ought to know, and that needs to be continuously on our lips, to praise the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did on the cross of Calvary. Because were it not for that freedom that he purchased for us, we would not be here today. I would not even be speaking to you today. Probably I would be in the grave. Probably you would be in the grave. But because of this reason, the Son of God, hallelujah, was manifested to crush the work of the enemy. Praise be to God. In order for us to celebrate our memorial every single day, we need to know our enemy. Who is your enemy? Who is your enemy? Who has people continually said your enemy are? Or who have people defined your enemy as being? Who do you think your enemy is? I've told you many times that your enemy is not a fellow human being. Your fellow human being, even though you never talk to them, even though you never converse with them, is not your enemy. Why do I know this? Because even in the animal kingdom, I see animals of the same species walking together. They are not enemy. They might, maybe a certain animal might be eating a portion of grass that was supposed to belong to another animal. They might fight a little, but they are not enemies. They continue to cohabit together. That is the original plan that God had when he created all living things and when he created man. There is nobody on this earth who is your enemy. Hallelujah. I will repeat again. No human being is your enemy unless the devil has gotten into their lives and they now are against what you are, and that is how, why we view them as enemies. But they are not enemies. God never created enemies here on earth. We have been created to cohabit together, to live together in harmony. But I want you to know that we have one adversary. We have one enemy, and his name is the devil. His name is Satan. A little bit about Satan for some of you who may not really know how Satan came into being. Satan was created as an angel of God. That's what the Bible tells us. He was a cherubim. He was an archangel, just like we have Michael, just like we have Gabriel. Satan was created by God as an archangel. As a matter of fact, we can go into the Bible here, and I'll read from the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 28, verse number 12 to 15. Listen to what the Bible says concerning the enemy, the devil. Son of man, this is an account that is given about the enemy. I mean, about the devil just before, an account of him just before he fell into sin. This is what the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter number 28, verse number 12 to 15. Son of man, raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you are the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Sardius, topaz and diamonds and beryl, onyx and jasper and sapphire and emerald and cubicle. I don't even know what that is. And crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings on the day that you were created and were prepared. That is an account of who, of how the devil was created. He was created in beauty. I mean, can you have a mental picture of a person who is, his body is made of all these precious stones? The Bible says that he was created in beauty. Praise be to God. God intended for him to be an angel, just like we have other angels in heaven. And listen to what happened. Just because of his beauty and just because of who, of the position that God gave him, the devil was filled with pride. And listen, in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14, 12 to 15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Daystar. It still calls him Daystar. O Daystar, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground. You who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heaven above the stars of God. Let me tell you guys, it's a dangerous thing, even in the beauty that God has put in us, to not recognize his sovereignty. The moment we begin to think that we are more superior than God, or we are more superior than others, that is just the beginning of our downfall. Are you listening to me, church? The moment you feel some inclination within you to feel like you have performed certain things by your own ability, watch out. The moment you feel like, you know, you are looking at what the Lord has done for you and you are looking at the blessings that the Lord has given unto you and you are shaking up your shirt and, you know, like in the African tradition, we spit on our chest saying, it is I, the macho man, that has accomplished this. Begin to watch very carefully, because you know what? You are headed to on a cliff. And let me tell you, the moment you're going to step on that cliff, you're going to somersault and you're going to roll and you're going to create a big thunder that people will wonder why you fail. And when they look at you, they will not even believe who you are. It is very important for us to recognize that there is a blesser. Hallelujah. There is a blesser who has given us the blessing, and he is the owner of the blessings. And we are not supposed to worship or adore or just cling to those blessings. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me, church? It is very easy, especially in America, because America provides opportunity for all. And I thank God for the opportunities that God has given us in America. There are some of us who are in business. There are some of us who are at the epic of their career. There are some of us who God has blessing or has blessed financially. There are some of us that God has blessed our personality so that even when we talk, people give us respect. And that is all good because of America. I thank God for America. But even in the midst of this blessing that are lashing out to you, it is very important for you to recognize that you cannot make it by your own. It is very important then to know that you didn't pass that exam, Sister Charity, by your own intellect. It is God who opened up a clear passage and he gave you access and he gave you favor with the professors. He gave you favors with that psychological, whatever topic you are doing in nursing program that is so difficult. It is God who provided that passage. It is God who has given you that nice house. It is God who has given you that nice car. It is God who has given you the ability to make wise decisions. Are you listening to me? So, church, when God blesses you, when God blesses you with a good family, when God blesses you with good children, when God blesses you with magnitude of wealth, because God is destined to empower you with wealth. It is written in the Bible that God has empowered you to be wealthy. God gives you creative ideas of how you can connect with a divine connection and another divine connection so that you can be prosperous. Hallelujah. There are many people in the world today that are looking for peace, but you are not looking for peace anymore. You have peace in your house. You have an understanding with your husband. You have an understanding with your children. Your children love you. You love your children. There is harmony in your home. Know that it is by the power of God that such things are happening in your home. There are many people in America today that do not know God. And let me tell you, they might have all the money you can even think about in their bank accounts, but they do not know the word peace. When they get into their home, there is chaos and disruption. There is talking to each other and shouting and hollering just because they do not know God. But thank God for the peace. Thank God for the unity. Thank God for the gifts of truth, for the gift of friends. So when God had created this being that we read, he was created with splendor. All the gemstones all around him, the beauty. In fact, in some other portions of the scriptures, the Bible says that he was, you know, he had like musical instruments that was spontaneous. The music was spontaneously coming off of him. But in the book of Isaiah, he was overtaken by something called pride. Praise be to God. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. Never give yourself a position that is higher than yourself. The Bible says always look yourself as low, you know, lowly to each other. Esteem others better than you. There is a reason why God put that scripture. You might be well advanced in your career, and you might be eloquent even more than another person. But let us learn and ask God to give us that humility so that I can humble and submit to anybody. I thank God, you know, for the opportunity that we have having little children here. Little children teach us about our relationship with God. And they come, sometimes they run at you and they want to just give you just a simple hug. Come on, don't just be macho and go about, you know, thinking that you're so highly you cannot even stoop low to just give that little kitty a hug. Give them a hug. Love them because God is teaching us humility through these children. And that is how the enemy was thrown out. Actually, the Bible says that he was kicked out of heaven. And he had some angels that were supporting him, and he was thrown into this earth. And he has continued with his rebellion. The Bible says that he is the author of sin. Actually, the account of, you know, the account of Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, let me tell you, church, when God has destined to bless you, he will give you a set of instructions. He will give you divine connections that you can connect with somebody so that you can progress, be progressive in the purpose that he has given you. And many times you might even just land with, you know, to somebody, and he might give you a word that is going to elevate you to another position. Be watchful of the people that you connect with every single day, Dan, because you never know what they're going to tell you. I might be the one who is going to speak just one word that you are going to take, Google it up and connect up with other people and transform your life completely. I have seen that. I have seen people who have taken simple words and they have built on them. They have built and researched and did something, and eventually they were successful. Now, the account in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, is an account whereby God had given Adam and Eve a set of instructions of how they were supposed to dwell in the Garden of Eden. And so they are just going about their day-to-day fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord, the Bible says, would come in the cool of the day and just visit with them and have fellowship with them. The devil, who was cast out of heaven, shows up in the Garden of Eden. And suddenly we're seeing there being a conversation between the serpent and Adam and Eve. Well, with Eve. And if you read actually the account, the devil doesn't even know the instructions, what God told Adam and Eve. And he comes to Eve and tells Eve, oh, I know God told you not to eat any of the trees here. He didn't even know. I know God didn't tell you. He told you not to eat any of these trees. That is not what God had told. He didn't even know. And Eve told him, oh, no. You don't even have an idea. God gave us an authority and access to all the trees except the one in the middle. So Eve gave information to who? To the devil. Let me tell you, if you can keep mum, and you know what? And you know there are other people that are used of the devil, by the way, to come and demoralize you, to come and kill your business, to come and kill your career, to come and disrupt your family. Do you know people can be used of the devil? How do I know that? How do you know that? When Peter wanted to obstruct Jesus from going to the cross, what did Jesus tell Peter? Get behind me, what? Satan. Was Peter the Satan? No, but the devil used Peter to try to block the process of the cross. And Jesus knew that it was the adversary who was in Peter trying to block the process of the cross. So that tells me that men can be used of the devil. The devil may literally never show up, you know, with his whatever spiritual horns. I don't even think the devil has horns, by the way. You know, I see pictures, you know, people creating the devil has horns. I don't think he has horns. In fact, I'll be shocked if you can tell me that the devil, you can prove to me that the devil has horns and red eyes and, you know, things that they draw, you know, ugly, and he has protruding, you know, dent. He has a confused dental structure, you know, something like that. I don't think so. If the devil shows up here, you'll never recognize him. You'll be going, wow. You'll be going, my goodness, what a creature. And some of you, not some of you in this church, but I'm saying some people would be enticed to go to them to find out more about him, only to realize that he is the old Lucifer who was thrown out of heaven. So the people really can be manipulated also by the devil. So watch out who you share your news with, because the enemy will never, listen to me very carefully, the enemy will never be involved with your affairs unless you let him know. I'm telling you the truth. Unless, do you know what? Son, you know what? If you have something going on with your life with fine, you can put up a face and you can smile to me. And it might be, of course, it might be something good going. But unless you tell me what is going on, I will never know. Unless the Lord reveals to me through his knowledge, I will never know. The same way, the devil will never know what is going on in your life unless I'm going to high school, I'm doing a course. Let me tell you, you learn to open up your pere-pere, you are going to see. It is time to take a needle. If you are the kind of a person who tells everybody, you know, picking up the phone, tell, oh, now I'm in school, I'm doing nursing, I'm doing blah, 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 I'm planning to do business. Friends, listen to me. Listen, if there was anything you take out of this message, be very, very careful who you share with, because chances could be that the enemy is using that person to manipulate and block you. What happened when he told Eve, oh, you have no idea. God lied to you. God did not say that. Surely, did not God say it? And now he comes and tells Eve, oh, no, God had other intentions. He knows that when you eat the fruit of the tree, your eyes are going to pop up, and you're going to realize that, you know what, you're going to be like them, you're going to be like God, because you shall know good and evil. And so what did Eve do? Just because he told somebody, he released the secret, he picked up the fruit and gave it to Adam. And Adam never, he was the one who was given instruction, never even watered, I don't even know where he was. He should have been there to take care of his wife anyway.
Hallelujah. It is very, very important for us to know our enemy. Know who your enemy is. Your enemy is not any human being. Your enemy is the devil. Praise be to God. Now, there are certain things that we will have to ask ourselves. Who is our enemies? Okay, we found out who our enemy is. Now, what is the mission of the enemy? We're going to ask ourselves, how powerful is my enemy? Amen? In order for us to war, to win any victory, to have victory in any warfare. And if you didn't know, we are continuously being involved in a spiritual warfare. Even when you're sleeping, there are other demons that have been assigned to come and assault your home. To come and, have you ever seen people waking up in the morning and actually they went to bed so sober and so nice, even had a cup of tea together sharing, but when they wake up, they're so grumpy and they want to, where is my shirt? Where is my socks? You wonder, did we not have a cup of tea last night with you? What happened through the process of you slipping into unconsciousness? What happened? And the wife is like, is this Baba so-and-so? What happened? What did I do to this guy? You know? I mean, assuming that everything was okay throughout the night process, everything went on well, but he wakes up grumpy. It is assaults from the enemy. You might be talking to somebody and all suddenly, man, let me tell you, I've been assaulted by the enemy too. You know, I'm feeling good and everything going on me, but somebody just says just a little word like me, it sets off a set of emotion like a dynamo. I feel so crazy. I feel like I'm going to strangle somebody. I know you don't know. You know, I'm sorry, I confess that. You know, you don't feel like that sometimes. You don't feel like when children really are nasty in your home, like you want to chase them out of that home and just stay alone. Especially mothers, you know, when children stress you, you feel like, get out of my face. You know? Assaults from the enemy are real. They are real, children of God. So, how powerful is my enemy? What is their constitution, their structure? What are my vulnerabilities to the enemy? And what are my defenses? Praise be to God. What are my defenses? Next scripture. Let us see what the Bible says. We saw, for this reason, the Lord was manifested. Why? Because Satan, the devil, is the author of sin. And he came into our original parents, confused them. And that's why we are going through all this process. That's why every child born in the world today is born a sinner. Just because of the transfusion of sin that was passed on by the lie that the enemy passed on over to our mother Eve. You know? Let's see what the Bible says. John chapter 8, 42 to 44. Can write it down. You can go read. This is just explaining about the works of the enemy. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar. And the father of lies. Now, Jesus was speaking to some Jews. You know, in this conversation, he was having a story with the Jews, and you know, they were coming to him, and as Jesus was preaching and giving them the good message of the kingdom, the Jews came to Jesus and they were telling him, you know what? We know our father. Our father is Abraham. And Jesus responds to the Jews and he's telling them, then why don't you do the deeds of Abraham? Because now you're plotting to kill me just because I gave you the truth. Why don't you at least do the deeds of Abraham? Because we don't have an account where Abraham killed other people. You know? And so they were saying, no, our father is Abraham. We don't know what you're telling us. We don't even recognize you. They were plotting to kill Jesus. And Jesus now comes here and tells them, you know what? You might claim that your father is Abraham, but I will tell you who your father is. In other words, Jesus explained to them who the devil is. And he's telling us who the devil is. And he's telling us that he is a murderer from the beginning. The intention of the devil, the mission of the devil is to do what? It is to steal you and to kill you and destroy you. The enemy will never come into your house and rob you. He will try, first of all, to entice you with good things, to withdraw you from faith, to withdraw you from the precepts of faith, to withdraw you from prayer, to withdraw you from reading the word, to withdraw you from fellowship. And how does he conquer that battle? It is by making sure that you're busy. Hello, Americans. Huh? You know, Mrs. Steve, this is so good. You know, back in the day, even when we were a little bit younger, not now we are growing older, there's no way we could have handled even two shifts. Do you remember that, those days in Kenya? If somebody told you to work overnight, even in your country, if somebody told you to go overnight, you'd think they are crazy. Hey, you tell me, I get in at 8 and at 5 I go home. And the cycle, and that, by the way, that is Monday through Friday. If somebody told me to work over the weekend, oh my goodness. I think that was a big deal. If when the supervisors would ask us to come and work over the weekend, it was a big deal. But now when we came up here, oh, you can even hit 3 straight. 3. You know, you 8 to 5, and then they told you, oh, you know what, sister, a certain lady that was supposed to come here was not available. Can you work? Oh, yes. And then you're doing 8 to you're doing the night shift and the graveyard shift, and then in the morning they ask you, do you still have some strength? Because, you know, this lady called in. Oh, yeah, I think I can try. Some people have done the quadruple. You know quadruple? Quadruple is no longer called even a double. Double now, that was like a 1999, you know, word, vocabulary. Now we are talking of triple and quadruple. Yeah? So very soon we are going to get into pentagipo, something like that. So that you come from, maybe you go to work on Monday, they will see you on Friday. Jesus, may you help us. The devil will succeed in America by keeping you busy. Let me tell you. I have done what I'm telling you. I'm not saying that I've not done that. But men, let me tell you, when you're so busy like that, chances are, even when you're done with the first shift, you're good to go, man. You're ready to go home, take a nap, and relax. That's how God created. That's how God created the body. You're supposed to have a period of time whereby your body just kicks back and relaxes, and so that you can replenish. But when you work like that, and your body is not even getting rest, how are you even going to get the scripture and even meditate upon? How even you going to pray for your food? Sometimes you're so hungry, you can't remember even the last time you prayed. You see, you are microwaving your food and you are actually tapping on your finger the moment it comes, because you want to go. Yeah? And actually you pack the lunch and you're on your way in your car. You're eating, actually passing other traffic, driving on your foot. I've seen people driving with their feet. They're holding a plate here and a kijiko, and they're eating and they're going. Jesus, may you help us. That is how the enemy is going to succeed, in causing us to be so busy. And he is a murderer. He intends to murder you. You know, murder is not just when you can annihilate. Murder is when you are rendered powerless. Amen? The mission of the devil is to steal you. Eventually, when he steals you, he'll come and destroy you. And eventually, no, he comes to steal, to destroy, and to kill. Eventually, you'll be nothing. Praise be to God. We have to be alert in the spirit. We have to know the mission of the enemy. Let me tell you guys, you know, We can be in this system, but try. You know what you can determine? You can say, like a brother called me, told me, you know, he is on the road now. He's one of the brothers who came up here, and he is going on the road. And this is the first time that he is on the road, you know, driving, and he is going to different cities. And you know what he called me, told me, Pastor, I've realized in this job that you can even go 2 days without having a devotion. So what I've decided, it doesn't matter, like the Muslims do, when it is like at a certain time, they stop everything and they face Mecca and they begin to pray to Muhammad. That is exactly what he told me he's trying to do. Stop everything, shut everything down, read his Bible and pray. We need to have at least 15 minutes every single day to converse with your Maker. Let me tell you, if we don't pray, if we don't get time to pray for our children, what are their destinies going to be? Because their lives will depend on the prayers we pray right now. If you don't invest time every single morning when children go out of school, do you know what negative influence are in those schools? My goodness, if we are given a chance to go to those schools and know what our children have to deal with, it is really so tumultuous. And they need an intervention of prayer. Parents, are you listening to me? Moms and dads, we need to pray for our kids.
Let me tell you, I don't care how busy I am, man. Before I wake up, before I kick in the blankets, wherever I could be in a state, another state. I wake up in the morning and pray for my children. I pray that no negative influence will come over my son. No negative influence will come over my daughter. I protect them. No gangster is going to come in their school to come and cause chaos in that school. I pray that they will succeed. I pray that you open up their minds. You have to do it. Nobody's going to do it for your children. The enemy is out there trying to steal them at a tender age. You know, it might be impossible. It might be hard for the devil to conquer you, but it will be easier for the devil to conquer Josiah because he still has a younger mind. Are you listening to me? Even when those children are toddlers, begin to pray and to declare things over them. Tell God how you would want them to live and to gain their lives. Praise be to God. So the mission of the devil is to come and to steal you, to destroy and to kill you. And he is a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar, the father of lies. Praise be to God. Understanding our defenses. Ha, this is the good part. In spite of all the things that the enemy is, and in spite of what he has destined in his mission here on earth, I want to thank God because of what God, through Jesus Christ, his son, has done for us. Because when he went to that cross, he said, "It is finished." Praise be to God. As he gave up his ghost, he said, "It is finished." And he gave everybody, every single one, as anyone whosoever is willing, can get into that holy of holies and identify with him and call him Abba Father. Thank you, Jesus, that I can go to my Father anytime I want. I didn't have that ability, but now I can go to my Father and tell him what I want. I can praise and worship him. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of Luke 10, chapter number 19, the Bible says, "Behold, I have given you authority." Once you have come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and you are born again, things are now different. Because that is the plan to restore our relationship back with the Lord. And he says in the book of Luke, chapter number 10 to 19, he says this, that I've given you power and authority over all. The Bible says all. Somebody say all. I have given you power and authority to tread on serpents. And that serpents is just the great, great, those are the cousins of the great, great, great serpent who was in the Garden of Eden. It is God now who is saying that I have given you power and authority to tread over the serpents and over scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Child of God, I want you to know that you have an authority. You have a power to tread over the works of the enemy, to destroy schemes and networks, even in the high places, in the name of Jesus. You don't do it by your own strength. You don't do it by your own power. But it is the Lord who says, "Now that you have come to me, I have restored back that which you're supposed to have in the Garden of Eden. I have given you power and authority to tread over scorpions and snakes, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." In other words, no matter how the enemy tries to manipulate his ideas, and as long as you know the authority that the Lord has given you, the Bible says that you can step him and tread him under your foot, and nothing by any means, in other words, by any means, it includes things that are beyond your ability. Nothing by any means is going to hurt you. That is your portion this morning. And you need to be claiming it over your children. You need to be claiming it over your job. You need to be claiming it over your family. You need to be claiming it over the things that you do every single day. You need to be claiming it over your extended families. Are you listening to me? That is your portion. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, when the enemy tries to come and castigate you and put you in a corner and trying to condemn you just because of a thing that you did, you need to read him, Romans 8, chapter number 1. For the Bible says, "Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus."
Glory be to God. It doesn't matter what you have done, as long as you can go before the Lord and confess your sins. The enemy might try to put you in a corner because he has no ability to come and crush you. He might be bringing some condemnatory sentiments on you so that you are withdrawn from that which is your purpose and from pursuing the purpose for which God has given you. You need to be quoting him Romans 8 chapter number 1 verse number 1 and tell him, now therefore there is no condemnation to me because I belong to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You need to walk tall when they denounce you. You need to walk taller than you were before because you know there is now no condemnation because you're in Christ Jesus. Can you give Jesus Christ a clap offering? He has given us, oh my goodness, yes. Yes, yes, yes. There's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That is your defense, church. That is your defense, man of God. That is my defense. You know what? When the enemy tried to plot even assaults against us, I know that I'm not condemned. God is on my side. I will step on the scorpion. I will step on the serpent. Nothing shall by any means, oh Jesus, there is nothing shall by any means hurt us. Romans 8, verse number 31 to 37. I'm almost done now. Romans 8, 31 to 37. You can write it down, go read later. This is what the Bible says. This is very powerful. I like this, man. I really, really do. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, hallelujah. Can somebody complete it for me? If God is for us, if God is for us, if God is for you, my God, do you know the power of that statement? That if God is for you, wow. If God is for me, no matter how my situation of my business is telling me right now, the Bible says, if I am in Christ Jesus Christ, if I'm in the Lord Jesus, there's no condemnation. And I know I'm in the Lord because I am born again. Hallelujah. I believed in my heart and I've confessed with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord. So Jesus is on my side. And the Bible is telling me, if Jesus is on my side, no matter the situation, the current situation of a thing that you're going through, things are not the way you think they are. The ultimate victory. If you can see it, even with the eyes of your spiritual eyes, in the future. I like what Julius tells me. Or tells all of us, I see you in the future. He tells him from a pre-knowledge of, because he knows that you're in Christ. You know what? The situation may not really guarantee what I may see you in the future. If I may see you in the future, in reference to the things you're going on through right now, ooh, the future then is dim. But when I see what you're going through right now, I am not referencing your position in the future by what you're going through right now. Because I know when Christ is on your side, he is going to cut away and match and unorganize Satan away so that you can emerge out victoriously. Glory be to you. I can give you testimonies of what God has done to me when I thought I was in the end of myself, the 11th hour, and suddenly. And all of you have testimonies when you are at the epic of your life and everything seemed to shatter all around you. You looked on your left, nothing made any sense. You look at the lives of your children, nothing made any sense. You look at the life of your family, things need all to be crumbling down. You look on your left, everybody is shutting you. And one thing you need to encourage yourself, if God is on my side, my God, are you listening? Are you? I wish you. You know what? This is like a cliche because many preachers preach about this, and we always often hear this. If God, you know, is on your side, but think about it. If God is on your side, do you think the devil can be on that side as well? Do you think really? Surely, think about this. Do you think any demon can be on that side? Because we are on the side of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, somebody come, my God. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You know what? If you didn't have a favorite scripture, I'm giving you that one. Let it be your favorite scripture. If you didn't have a favorite scripture, go ahead and memorize Romans 8, chapter number 31 to 32. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If he has given Jesus the only precious gift I believe that our Father had, and he gave him to us, how graciously, alongside with Jesus,
Don't you think he's going to graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen?
Wow.
Who will bring any charge? In other words, who has the authority to come and falsely accuse the children of God against the children of God that he alone has chosen? They will never succeed. It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. What else do we need? He is on the right hand side interceding for you. That means there are prayers that you have never prayed, but somebody prayed for you in heaven. Jesus has been praying. You know that victory? That victory that you wanted? My goodness, I can't believe that this thing is happening right now. It is the Lord who is interceding for you. Because the Bible says so, that he is seated on the right hand side doing what? Interceding for us. Praise be to God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. Not in all these things, we are more, in all these things, we are more than conquerors who, through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, God, thank you, Lord, nor anything else in the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you, gasoline can go even $6. That is not going to separate me from the love of Christ. He is still going to provide for you. Even milk, let it cost $10. God is miraculously going to provide the $10 to buy the milk for your kids. It doesn't matter the power that be. You know, in any nation, God, that power can never separate us from the love of God. The situations that you go through, people may be looking down on you. People might be telling others about you. People might even, at work, you might be having people who are so continuously against you. When you walk with them, it's like, you know, you're walking among us devils. Have you ever felt like that? You're walking and everybody's against you. You even suggest a good suggestion. Give a good suggestion, but you're nullified. You know, you are kind of made to naught. Have you ever been in such a situation? And you know what? It's because you're a Christ. You're a child of God. Even that will not separate you from the love of Christ. Man, I thank God that even through the things that we go through in this life, that we shall stand strong. Praise be to God. That to me is my memorial when I remember that in spite of all these things, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ, because he came down on the cross and all these structures have been set because of him coming down from heaven and going to the cross because of me. Philippians 4:13, and I think we're going to conclude. Philippians 4:13, what does the Bible say? Somebody read it. This is so strong. This is so sweet. Philippians 4:13, can somebody read it from me? Philippians 4:13. What? I can do what? I can do what? Come on, can you read it aloud? I can
do all things through Christ.
Can you say it louder?
I can do all things through Christ.
Say it like you mean it.
I can do all things through
Christ. Say it one more time. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And in the beginning I said that we need to recognize that when we are at an elevated position, it is not by us, it is not by our strength, it is not by our ability, but it is by the Lord. The Lord gives dreams. The Lord gives aspirations. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. Be very attentive. In this church, the Lord will begin to give us dreams. And he maybe has mentioned something that you ought to start doing. And when you look at how you're going to arrive
in executing the dream that the Lord has given you, you see impossibilities. And you see there's no way, it would have to take a divine connection in order for me to do the thing that the Lord is asking for me to do. But let me tell you, if you can believe in yourself, because somebody told me, I think it's Tony who told me, there's no way you can have an idea, especially when you're a child of God, unless the Lord drops that idea into you. There are some of us here, God has spoken to start a business. And when you looked at the enormity, I don't even have papers, I don't have documentations, I don't have... Dr. Nando spoke to us last Sunday. What did he tell us? Do you remember what he told us? He said that we are not in this country by our own, by the green card. We are not sustained in this country by the citizenship. It is by the grace of the Lord that we are in America today. Because he went in prison and there are people who had green cards and being revoked, just and they had it. And if they had put their trust on the green card, if I put my trust on the citizenship, if I put my trust on the documentation, yes, it's good to have documentation. It is good because it will give me access. But you need to know, up to now, church, listen very carefully. Up to now, it is the Lord that has sustained you. Up to now, it is the Lord that has kept you. Up to now, it is the Lord that has given you strength even to go to work and make some bread, bring it to your children. Up to now, it is the Lord who has sustained every single one of us. And it is the Lord who gives you aspirations. You may not have the necessary documents. I know, this doesn't make any sense. If the Lord brings in a dream of starting a business, and you may not really have the necessary documentations, the Lord knows how you're going to articulate it even in this land where those documents are required. Because the Lord will never give you a dream unless he knows that you are able to do it. He has lined up divine connections so that if you can talk to somebody. Let me tell you, I know some people, especially from the Kenyan community, who are doing very well in business. They don't even have a single documentation. What they did is that God gave them a dream, dropped it into their hearts, and they started working it out. Amen? They started working it out. And the moment you step your first foot on towards the destiny, towards the dream, the rest leave it to God. Amen? You know what? How the Lord does it is this way. When you sow in a seed, you cover it with the soil. And what causes that seed to sprout and to germinate? Do you know what causes it to grow? Who causes it to grow? Can you explain the process? Biologically, maybe you can. But the potential of that seed sprouting from its shell and growing it into being a plant, it is only the Lord. It is a superpower that does that. No matter how you can biologically or scientifically explain it to me, it is the Lord who causes it to grow. Same as a child in the womb. When those seeds connect inside your womb and the child is developed, and after 9 months you see a face of a human being, you can scientifically explain that to me, what happens, cell division and the stuff. But I believe it is a higher power. And I also believe that when God has given you a dream and you make the first step, what takes place after that is supernatural intervention. So, what has made us not really make a step is fear. And we have really been unstoppable. You know, we have felt that we are inadequate and we don't have the ability to do it because we have a fear of unknown. But today I'm challenging you, church. I'm challenging you, children of God. If God has dropped a dream inside of you, you know what God requires of you to execute it. And all that he needs is take up the first step. Take up the first step. By the moment you take the first step, you will be receiving ideas like in a micro. It's like in a very fast way into your mind telling, okay, call Brother Julius. He can tell you how you need to do. Call Sister so-and-so. Call Brother James. Maybe he might connect you. Call Brother Israel. He might be knowing somebody. Hey, you need to do this. You need to do the other. And before you even know it, you'll be wondering, wow, months ago, I could not believe that I could do this. I could not even believe that I could go to school because I have a history that when I was in school, I was just not doing well. And you've carried that all along. We are in a new phase of life. The Bible says in the book of Philippians 4:13 that you can do all things. I can do all things through the power that is infused within me. I know with my ability I'm limited. I know with my strength I cannot do. I know that with my incapable mind I am bound to make mistakes. But through the power that has been infused inside of me by my Father, I will handle any dream and I will confront any aspiration that he drops into my life. Believe in yourself. You have all that it takes to succeed. Amen? If God has dropped an idea of business, I tell you, my sister, make the first step. God will bless you. God is going to prosper you. God is going to bring divine connections. Don't worry about, where is this divine connections going to come? Where is the money going to come? The Lord knows. I mean, why? If he knew that there was no money, then he wouldn't have given you the dream. But as long as you have the dream, make the first step and move with it. I will support you where I can. Pray for you so that you can realize God in what you do. Praise be to God. Do not be put down by the devil. The devil's mission is to kill you and prevent you from pursuing the purposes of God. Shall you stand on your feet right now in the name of Jesus? Knowing your enemy, you need to know who he is, know his mission, know your vulnerability. In the animal kingdom, you know what the enemy does? I mean, you know what the animals do? I mean, I've watched documentaries of lions chasing antelopes or other smaller animals that they feed on. They don't go on the mighty ones. Normally, they watch and they are looking for the weak ones, you know? And in the moment they have an opportunity, they jump on that weak one and they have their meal. That's the same way the enemy does. Do not be found, a weakling among the strong. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Get some time to read the scriptures. Praise be to God. Pray for your family. Pray for the members of your church. Pray for the members of your children. Declare good things about them. Amen? When you don't feel like it, that is the right time to do it. Because I know many times I didn't feel like praying. I even didn't feel like reading the word. But that is the right time to read the word. Are you listening to me? We have to be our brother's keeper. We have to be our sister's keepers as well. Lift up your right hand right now before the Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we adore you. We choose you, Lord. Father, we thank you even for this memorial celebration that we have here, God, when we know that for this reason that you, the Son of God, was manifested to come and crush the work of sin. Lord, we thank you because we are no longer sinners, Father. And I thank you, Father, even for the privilege of knowing you. I thank you, Lord, even for the opportunity and access that you've given us, Father, even to yourself, that we can call you Abba, Father. I thank you, Lord, because you're more than conquerors. I thank you, Father God, because you've put the enemy right under our feet. And I thank you, Father, because you've encouraged us in Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things through you who strengthens us. I thank you, Heavenly Father God, if there be anybody here who has been banished by assaults from the kingdom of the enemy, that they shall arise and receive the awakening call from Jesus this afternoon. Father God, even to face the challenges of our time. Father, you've encouraged us that not even death, no hardships, not even powers or rulers or governments can separate us from the love of Christ. I pray that we shall be authentic followers of Jesus, declaring the gospel and walking as men and women who represent Christ, even in the marketplaces. Father, we thank you. We bless you. You could be in this auditorium this day. You've never given your life to Jesus. And you want to surrender your life to the Lord. I'd like to pray for you. And I'd like to say yes alongside you as you receive Jesus in your life. Just lift up your hand. Receiving Jesus is easy. Believe in your heart that he died on the cross for you. Amen. And confessing with your mouth unto salvation. Lift up your hand and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody who wants to receive Jesus right now? Lift up your hand. Hallelujah. You need a touch, you need a miracle from the Lord right now. I would like you to lift up your hand as well. You need a special touch, a rekindling effect in your life whereby you begin to read the Word of God more. Begin to have some special moments just alone with the Lord to pray. Lift up your hand. The Lord can empower you and he can change schedules for you as well. Lift up your hand. I want to pray with you. Yes, you're wanting God to reorganize your schedule so that you can have more time with the Lord.
because of your schedule, you are not having time for prayer. You do not even have enough time to pray. Lift up your hand. There is nothing that the Lord cannot do. If you are so willing from your heart, lift up your hand. We are going to pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray for every hand lifted up, oh God. Lord, I pray that you shall visit this beloved in the name of Jesus. God, you know why they lift up that hand. For God, our cares and our needs are never hidden from you. I pray that in the name of Jesus, that you shall visit every one of us in the name of Jesus. If it is a schedule, if it is a financial miracle, may you come through for them. It is a family affair, Lord. I pray that you shall come through for them in the name of Jesus. Whatever case it is, Lord, I pray that you stretch forth your hand and reach out for your beloved children in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Let there be a breakthrough, Lord, in their aspirations, in their dreams, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that there will not be any weakling among us. And if there be one, Lord, we shall surround them and protect them and cause them to grow up in the name of Jesus. Father, we shall be our brother's keeper. We shall be our sister's keeper in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare your blessing over this, your children. In the name of Jesus, whatever besets them, Lord, whatever obstructs them, Lord, even from pursuing the goodness of God, Lord, I pray that it shall be uprooted and removed from them to the glory and honor of your name. Minister to them, Lord, even this week, as they go to work, as they do go about their businesses, Lord, I pray that you shall come through for each one of them to the glory and honor of your name. All these things we pray, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen, amen. You may have your seats. I'm going to